Baz Hashem Mizbach, we begin Perek Shnei Ma'aseh, the 12th Perek in the Hilchas Yisur B, the laws of forbidden relationships in the Sefer Kedusha, the laws of sanctity, which up until now in the previous parakim we were discussing the laws of forbidden relationships with Jewish men and women. And in this Perek, the Rambam discusses how it relates to that of other nations. So in this Perek, we discuss that of a non-Jewish woman, a maidservant, and regarding bringing other peoples as converts into the Jewish people. As the Rambam opens up in Halacha Aleph regarding a Yisrael Shabal Goya, if a man, a Jewish man, has relations with a non-Jewish woman, Mishar Umis, from the other nations, which important to note is the Rambam's opinion is that the Isser of Hischasnus, of getting married, is by all nations before they convert, which many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They hold that no, only by the Sheva Umis, the seven nations that were in Eretz Yisrael before the Jews, people with Yeshua conquered it, they were forbidden to get married with them even when they converted. Because before conversion, there's no halacha of chidna at all because condition is not taifis in a non-Jew. And from this it comes out that by other nations, it wouldn't be applicable to have chidna at all because after they convert, they're like Jewish. And beforehand, it doesn't apply as chasnus. But the Rambam disagrees and he holds that if a Jewish man has a relation with a non-Jewish woman from the other nations of the world, derech ishes through that of marriage, or Yisraelish nebelugay derech ishes, or a Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jewish man through a relationship of marriage, harei the lekin minater, they get lashes biblically if they get warned. Shnomek says in the pasuk, v'loy sitchatn bam, that you shouldn't intermarry with the non-Jewish people, which Rambam is explaining this. When they're not Jewish, not when they convert, through marriage, as Rambam explains later on. And therefore the Rambam brings the end of the pasuk, Bitcha lesit levnoi, your daughter you should not give to his son, Ubita lesikach levnecha, and his daughter you shouldn't take for your son, because this is qualifying leiteschatn bam, which the Rambam understands is when they're not Jewish, is the problem about intermarrying. And echad sheva amamin, and whether we're talking about the Sheva Umais, which everyone agrees the pasuk is talking about the seven nations of Canaan, v'echad kol umais b'Yisrael, or whether all nations of the world, they're all forbidden, all the rest of the nations beside the Jewish people, you have this Isser of Leisit Chatnba. And the Chema Farish al-Di Ezra, so to explicit through Ezra Sefer, which although this pasuk is Sefer Nechemia, but the Rambam calls it Sefer Ezra because that includes Sefer Nechemia. It says in the pasuk in the Chemiah, "V'asher lo nitin b'neisim la'meretz," we don't give our daughters to the nations of the land. "Ves b'neisim lo nikach le'b'neinu," and their daughters we don't take for our sons. Now, halacha beis, v'lo asa ter l'derech chasnus. The Torah only made it forbidden through a way of marriage. Aval abal goy derech znos. But if a Jewish man has a relation with a non-Jewish woman through a promiscuous, unmarried way, then makanos makas matzav b'derech. Then we give him lashes, the rebellious lashes, which are rabbinic. And that's exactly, that's a rabbinic concern, because if we allow relations, it might cause to obviously bring about marriage, which is the biblical prohibition. Now, the miyichadu loy biznus, now, it not only does he have relations with the non-Jewish woman, so he's not getting married, so he doesn't want to violate the biblical violation, but he designates hard to have unmarried relationships, which this was, the Rambam is going to quote the gezeira of the court of the Chashmonaim, that a Jewish man who has a relation with a non-Jewish woman, he's liable for what's called nashgaz, which stands for nida, shivcha, goya, and zayna, which the Gemara's conclusion, according to the Rambam's girsa, is specifically when she's designated for him. Then chayv alem shom nida, he's liable on her because of the halacha of nida, which is if a Jewish man gets used to this, and he'll have a relation with her, even in her menstrual state, he might come to have such relationship with a non-Jewish woman, and all these things are atu, because what it might bring about. And because of having a halachic violation of that of a maidservant, which is also biblically violated if she was an actual shivcha, and because of the problem about non-Jewish woman, and because of as a prostitute. Now, if he didn't designate her for him, rather just happened to have had relations with her, in the Chayiv al-Mishamgoyah, then the only liability is because of her being a non-Jewish woman. But, says the Rambam, anyway, all these liabilities that we're holding him responsible for, the whole Nashgaz, is only rabbinically. But the rabbis, the court of the Chashmonaim, they made this gezerah of having relationships with the non-Jewish women. Now, halacha gimel b'medvam rum, when do we say this? K'shoya b'al Yisrael. If the Jewish man was a non-Kohen, of a kohen abal goy, but if he's a kohen having a relation with a non-Jewish woman, then look him in that Torah. Then his lash are actually biblical mishum zayna, because she's considered a prostitute. Ve'echad zayna goy, ve'echad zayna Yisrael. It doesn't make a difference if she's a zayna as a Jewish woman or of a non-Jewish woman. And ubabil bavad, like, but he only gets lashes not by marrying her, but by having relations with her, she's in the bas kedushin, because she can't have kedushin because she's a non-Jewish woman. Because in contrast, a kohen that has relations with a zayna that's a Jewish woman through znus, then actually there the lashes is not because of zayna. It's only when he actually marries her and has bia, as the Rambam says in Perek Yizayin Lach Beis. But he would get lashes for loisi kedusha because not less than that of a Jewish. But what he's saying here is the bi'ila, here by the non-Jewish woman, the zayna, is she's going to be qualified here for the kohen as a biblical violation because the kohen is forbidden to have relations with that of a zayna. Halacha Dal Ram continues with the halacha of kanon poigim bay and the stringency of intermarriage and of getting mixed up with the nations of the world. Says Ram, kalaboyel goya. Whoever has a relation with a non-Jewish woman, being their chasnas, whether through marriage, being their chasnas, whether just having an extramarital relationship, in ba'ala b'fahesya, if he has relations with her out in the open, b'hu, and that is she'ivale in the asar mi'yisrael lo yasser, that he's having relations with her in front of 10 Jewish men or more, in pogo b'kanoin v'arugu, if kanoin zealots go ahead and strike him and they kill him, harayel m'shabach on this reason, they're praiseworthy and they're diligent people. This halacha, a tradition from Moshe from Sinai, and Re'ulu Dabazah, a proof to this is Maisa Pinchas B'Zimri, the story with Pinchas that he killed Zimri, who was having a relation with a non-Jewish woman, and he was the Kanoi Pinchas, and he killed Zimri. Now, halacha Yedrama qualifies. So, if Ena Kanoi Rishol Lifgoya Bohem, now the zealot is not permitted to harm this man having a relation with a non-Jewish woman, El B'Shas Maisa, Kizimri, only during the act of the intercourse. Like it was by Zimri. So like it says in the Pasuk in Midbar, that when Pinchas killed the two of them, when he was killing Zimri, he killed the woman to her stomach because they were in the act at that point. Of them perish. But the moment that the Jewish man removes himself, ain't her gonna say, Nala kill him. Then Maragi, and if Pinchas or whoever the zealot would be would kill him, Nergala, he would be executed for having killed the Jewish man. Now, Vimba Kanoi Little Rishos Mebez Din Laharga. Now, if the zealot is coming to court to get permission to say, look what he's doing, he wants to have permission to kill him, Ain Marinla, we don't rule him, we don't direct him to do that. Even though it's during the act, it's only a halacha that a Kanoi is allowed to, but we don't tell him to do it. But not only that, Elimba Kanoi Laharga Saboil, if the zealot is coming to kill the man who's having relations, Venishbata Boil, and the one who's having relations with the non-Jewish woman removes himself, meaning Vaharga Kanoi Kidilhatlas Miyat, even though he's in the middle of the act which the Kanoi is allowed to kill him, but in self defense the Boyal goes and kills the Kanoi to save himself, in about Nergalov. The one who's committing this act of Bia on the non-Jewish woman will not get executed for having killed himself in self defense. Because again, Halacha doesn't mandate it and therefore he could defend himself. It's just that the Kanoi is allowed to. Vaba Basker Tashim. Now this was all regarding non-Jewish woman. But if a man has relations with the daughter of a Ger Toshav, which a Ger Toshav is the resident convert who is not a regular Ger Tzaddik, he did not convert to Judaism, he accepted not to do idol worship and all the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Nayach, but he didn't circumcise or immerse himself in the mikvah. And that's why he's called Ger Toshav, because as Ram says later on, Perek Gedal, that he's allowed to reside amongst the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Bas Ger Toshav doesn't literally mean to say the daughter of a Ger Toshav, it means to say the woman herself accepted not to worship idolatry. Then in a kanoin poigimai, so though she's not a Jewish woman, but the zealots are not allowed to harm that man. But again, for committing this act, we give him rabbinic lashes. Halacha vav loy pogu b'kanoim. Let's say the zealots did not harm him, and v'lo hilku bezdin, and the courts did not give him lashes for what he had done. So harei onshim the first b'difikabel. Then his punishment is explicit in the words of Tanakh, in the ksuv, in the words of the Navi, Shehu Bekaris, which his life is going to get cut short. Shemaik says in the Pasuk, Ki chilil Yehuda Kodesh Hashem, because Judea has desecrated the holy things of Hashem, Asher ohev abol bas el necher, that he loved and he cohabited with the daughter of the foreign god, Yachres Hashem le'ish Asher Yesenna, Hashem should cut off, this says the Karis, to the man that has done such a thing, Erva Aina, any progeny, any descendants, like it says in Sefer Malachi. Which tells us in Yisrael, who if he's a regular Yisrael, lo yilo erba chacham, he's not going to have any progeny amongst the sages of Olam Tamidim, no descendants amongst the students. V'mkayinu, if he's a kayin, lo yilo, he's not going to have, like the pasuk says, the magish mincha Hashem tzavakas, to bring the flower offerings to Hashem, the Lord of Hosts. Hinulmata, what you learn from this, aboy gaya, if a man's relations with a non-Jewish woman, kiel neschat la b'dizar, it's as if he had got married to the idol. Shlomo says in the pasuk, "Uval bas el necher," that he had relations with the daughter of the foreign god, Benikra, and he's called like the pasuk Mechalka Hashem, desecrating the holy things of Hashem. Halacha Zayin, the Rambam qualifies as Avin Zeh, this sin, although there's no capital punishment for it, that should not make it light in your eyes having relations with a non-Jewish woman. Actually, this is such a loss that all, having relationships with all the forbidden relationships are not equivalent for how bad this is. Because if someone has a child from a woman that's forbidden to him biblically as an erva, but it's still his son for all halachic purposes, he's considered a Jewish man, although he's considered an illegitimate child. But if a ben min agaya, a son from a non-Jewish woman, is not his son, like it says in the pasuk Nevarim, ki yaseh ben chamachrei, where you're going to remove your son from after me, where meso isim liyasach Hashem, he's going to remove him from being after Hashem because it takes on that of the status of the mother, which is a non-Jewish woman. So that's very severe. As Rambam says, Allah chas v'dav is a goyim lihidavik b'goyim. This actually causes to cling to the non-Jews, to the nations of the world, where Hashem has separated us from them. It's going to make us turn away from after Hashem and to betray Him, and therefore it is very severe. Now, Halacha Tes, the Rambam qualifies now from the perspective of the non-Jew who's having relations with the Jew. If a non-Jewish man has a relation with a Jewish woman, if she's a married woman, he gets executed. If she's single, it doesn't get executed. Which again, because Eishes Ish is forbidden to them too, and therefore gets executed, but only if she's married. Halacha Yud, Av Yisrael habala goya, but if a Jew has a relation with a non-Jewish woman, now ben ketana b'shal shem imechad, even if the non-Jewish woman is just over 3 years old, ben gedoyle ben benui, whether she's adult or whether she's single, ben Eishes Ish, whether she's a married woman, even if the Jewish man is only a minor himself, well, he's not going to get executed, but he's over 9 years old, so his B is considered the equivalent of an act of cohabitation. Since he deliberately had a relation with a non-Jewish woman, she actually gets executed because of that 10-year-old boy, let's say. Because a stumbling block has been caused to a Jewish man because of her, like the halacha is by the animal, where you execute the animal, even though what did the animal do? Same thing over here. But there was in the first part, and this explicit in the Torah, like it says in the Pasuk in the Midbar, behold, it was because of the advice of Bilam that happened to the Jewish men, where they sinned with the women of the nations of the world. And therefore, any woman who knows to have relations with a male, haragu, should be killed, meaning because they caused the stumbling block. So you see that caused them to be executed. Now, Lachi Yilav, the Rambam continues regarding the status of the non-Jews as when it's like in this quasi-state, that of the non-Jewish slave. Havadim shet pilo esim Hashem abdus, the non-Jewish slave that was immersed to be a Jewish slave, where the halach is v'kibla le mitzvah shavad mechayim, and they accepted upon themselves the commandments that slaves are obligated, which is whatever women are obligated in. So yasim mechalal gun, so they're in this quasi-state, not considered as non-Jewish nation anymore, but v'lachalaisu lebo, but they have not yet come to be the status, full-fledged status of a Jewish person. So a maidservant is forbidden to a regular Jewish man, a free man. And the Rambam picks specifically Ben Chayrin, because as we'll see, there is an exception regarding the Eved Ivri. But for a regular free Jewish man, it's forbidden to have relations with the maidservant, whether it's his own maidservant, whether it's his friend's maidservant. But if a man's relations with the maidservant, it's only rabbinically that we give him lashes. Because it's explicit in the Torah, that the master is allowed to give his female non-Jewish maidservant to his Jewish slave, and she's permitted to him. Because if it would have been biblically forbidden, then the master would not be able to give a shivcha kananis to his Jewish slave as a wife. Something like it says in the pasuk in Shemayish. If his master gives him a woman, which is his maidservant. So obviously, biblically it's permitted, biblically it's forbidden, but as the Rambam says, the sages did not make a decree regarding the Eved Ivri, but a regular Jewish man, they did, and therefore a regular Jewish man gets Malkus, or Malkus Mardis, found in relation with the maidservant. But the Lechiva Torah Malkus, the Torah did not make any liability of lashes, b'shivcha by maidservant, it's only rabbinic. When is it biblical? Only if she was a half a shifcha, half a baschar, and that was engaged with Eved Ivri, like we explained in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. Only then would it be biblical. Now, Halacha Yud Gimel, here also, like we said regarding the non-Jewish woman, says Ram al Yehi oven zekal beinecha. This sin should not be light in your eyes. Nishayim b'malkas matari, that doesn't even have biblical lashes by having relation with the non-Jewish maidservant. Shekam zekurim leben lasa me'ach Hashem, because this also causes the son to stray from after being after Hashem. Shabem and Hashem chu'evet, because the son from the maidservant is a slave. Ve'edim Yisrael is not a full-fledged Jew, because it takes after the mother. That caused that the holy seed from the Jewish man should be desecrated and to be like a slave. As the Rambam says, Hari Unkel is Hamatargim. Unkel is that translates into Aramaic the Torah. He was called Be'ilas Eved V'Shivcha. He included the relations with a slave and a maidservant, Bechlal lo yikadosh v'leisi kadesha, not to be a kadosh or a kadesha, which the Rambam doesn't totally agree with Unkel is, that the lav of li kadosh v'leisi kadesha, which is the male and female idea of having someone that's forbidden to have a relationship with Unkelus is saying is having a relationship with a slave or a maidservant, which are not fully Jewish. According to Rambam, it's only, like he said, rabbinic, but he is relying on what Unkelus is showing, that you see Kodesh HaKadosh is talking about Eved Shivcha as a proof that obviously a Jew that's born Eved Shivcha is causing that his seed should be desecrated amongst the nations of the world. Halacha Yadal, Habal Shivcha, if a man has relations with a maidservant, even out in the open and even at a time of sin, in the Kodesh HaKadosh, here the zealots are not allowed to harm him, and it's not considered the same thing, the equivalent of a regular non-Jewish woman. So too, if he gets engaged to a maidservant through marriage, in the Likum HaTorah, he doesn't biblically get lashes. Because the moment that the maidservant immerses herself in the mikvah and accepts mitzvahs, yotz mechal ha-goyim. Again, like we said, she's not included in the category anymore of the nations. She's not a full-fledged Jewess either, but she doesn't have that halachic status as the goyim. Halachat ezvav. Nis'ar v'lad Yisrael's b'vad shavcha. What happens if a Jewish child gets mixed up with a child of a slave woman? So both of them are doubt. We don't know what the status is. And therefore, each one of them is doubtfully a slave. So in that situation, they force the master of the maidservant because of they're not going to be able to get married and have children because either one can't marry neither Shivcha Bascharin because he might be either an Eved or Ben Charin, which is forbidden either of the other, which is the same halacha like a chetzi eved chetzi bascharin. So they force the owner of the shivcha u'meshachar shneim, and they free both of them. And then either one, they're both regular, full-fledged, free Jewish men now. And they can get married to a regular Israelis. Now, v'mhoya benahu beno odin shal eved. Now, if that son was the son of the one that got mixed up with the slave, was the son of the master of the slave itself, and that master dies and he leaves over the son, who he's now the owner of that other boy, and he's mixed up with him, and we don't know who's who, so, kishiglu, when they get older, because you can't free a slave when he's a minor, yishachar says, and then they quote-unquote free each other, because we don't know who's the real master and who's the slave, and then and then they're both permitted to marry into the assembly of the Jewish people. Now, lachat design, but let's say hayat rebbe's banis. Let's say the mixture of the Jewish mother and the slave woman were actually daughters. Harishtein sveik shvachis. Here, they're both doubtful if they're maidservants, and here you don't force the master because a woman doesn't have to get married. She's not commanded in peribriyabim. So, v'habal kol achsman, if someone has a relation with any one of these women, havolat sveik evan, the child is doubtful as a slave. And v'chein nesar v'lad goy b'vlad yisrael, so too, if let's say, the child of a non-Jewish woman, or a child of a Jewish woman, get mixed up, matpil neshneim l'shem. Yes, again, you immerse both of them for the purposes of conversion, because again, one of them is Jewish and one of them is not. V'chol achsman sveik yiris, and each one of them is going to be doubtful as a convert, and because again, you don't know who is who, and again, so she'll be forbidden to a Kohen, who's forbidden with a Geyeris, but they'll both be Jewish women. And Halachi Zayin Ram continues regarding picking out specifically four nations of the world that are different than what we said is the status of the nations of the world when they convert, where that's the Mitzri, Adami, Amoni, and Mayavi. Says Ram, Kol HaGoyim Kulam, all the nations of the world, Kishis Gairu, when they convert, Abatelon we spoke about when they were still not Jewish, when they convert, the Kabbalim, Kol HaMitzri, Abatelon, they accept upon themselves all the commands of the Torah. And similarly, the slaves, when they are freed, they're like a Jewish person for all halachic purposes. The assembly, they're all like one statute that it's for you. They're permitted to marry into the Jewish people right away. And that is, that is the convert or the freed man marries a Jewish woman. Or that the Jewish man marries the convert or the woman who is freed. Now, however, there's four exceptions of the nations of the world. And they are Amon, Umayyad, Umitzrayim, Egypt, Edom, and Edom. That from these nations, when someone converts from these nations, you're right, for all practical purposes, the person is the full-fledged Jew. There's one exception regarding marrying into the Jewish people. As Rambam says, halacha yitchetz v'kitz adin. What's the halacha? So regarding Amon and Umayyad, which are near Eretz Yisrael, Isur Nesu Oilam. That is a eternal prohibition, specifically Zachar Malay and the Kabis. The males amongst them and not the females. It says in the masculine that the people of Ammon and Moab are not allowed to enter into the marriage into the assembly of the Jewish people. Specifically the males of Ammon and Moab, they are forbidden to ever marry a Jewish woman. Even a great, 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 however child that is, forbidden up until the end of the world. Now, but the females, they're permitted right away to marry a Jewish man right when they convert. Here, the halacha is both male and female. When they convert, first generation converts and their children are permitted to marry into the Jewish people. But a third generation is permitted, like it says in the pasuk, that the sons, the children would be born to them, etc., which is over the Dar Shlishi, they're permitted to marry into the Jewish people. Now, Halacha Chaf, the Rambam qualifies, says, Mitzvah Mu Berish in this guy, if you have a pregnant Egyptian woman that converts. So, Ben Nasheni. So, she's the first generation, her child is the second generation. Now, Mitzvah Sheni Shenosa Mitzvah Rishon, but what happens if you have a second generation Mitzvah that marries a first generation Egyptian woman? Or the other way around. Mitzvah Rishon, a first generation Egyptian man, Shenosa Mitzvah Sheni that marries a second generation Egyptian woman. Haval Cheni, here the child is going to be a second generation, not a third generation. Because Shenem, it says in the Pasuk, Ban Mashi Bodlem, the sons, the children that will be born to them, HaKasot Tlem Beleida, the Pasuk makes it dependent on birth, which you can't have birth without a father and a mother. And as long as it's not a third generation to both of them, forbidden to marry to the Jewish people. So here, since one of them is still a first generation, even though one of them is second, the child is going to be only a second generation, not a third generation. Now, Halacha Chaf Alef, what happens if you have a mixed parenting? What happens if a convert from Amin marries that of an Egyptian woman? So havalat Amini, the child is going to be considered, if the child is a male, is going to be Amini and going to be forbidden to marry to the Jewish people forever because his father is from Amin. Now, if the child is a daughter, then she'll be like a mitzvah, which will not be permitted right away. Will be forbidden up until the third generation, like any mitzvah, whether female or male is, because we always go stringently. Now, ger mitzvah shenos amoinis. Let's say you have the man is an Egyptian convert who married, this is the inverse of the other case, where the woman was from Amoin. So here, havalat mitzvah. The child will be an Egyptian and will be forbidden up until the third generation because the father is the more problematic over here. Which we're going to go stringent either way. Which says Ram Zakal, this is the rule. But umos by the nations when they're not Jewish, halacha chazacher, then you go after the male, after the father. So let's say an Amoini guy marries a Goya from a different nation and they have a son, it's going to be like an Amoini. When he converts, it's forbidden to marry to the Jewish people. If you have a guy from a different nation that comes in a Goya Amoinis and has a son, he's not an Amoini. And when he converts, he'll be permitted to marry because then you go after the father. This gairu, when they convert, then halacha chapachas, then like we were saying in the beginning, halacha, then you go up to the more deficient. Whichever parent is more problematic, that's the one that the status is going to be flawed based on that parent. Halacha base. Mishnah is gairu shiva amaman. Whoever converts from the seven nations of Canaan, in asurim and atur lovibakal, they're not permitted biblically to marry to the Jewish people. Now, Bahadav Yaduv, it says Rambam, it's known, Shalayin is gairu hemala gevayim. The only one they converted from the seven nations of Canaan, when they conquered it, were the gevayim. Now, Yeshua Gazalem, but Yeshua decreed on them, Shia Sum Labakal, that although biblically they're permitted, that they should be forbidden to marry to the Jewish people. Echad Zachar Mechad Nekev is whether the males or the females. But, well, they also Isam Elizabeth Shayesh Mekdash. He only made them forbidden at a time when there was still a temple, was still a base of Mekdash. And like it says in the Pasig in Yeshua, there'll be wood shoppers and water carriers for the house of my God, with Talahar Chakasim Mekdash. He made the fact that they're forbidden to the Jewish people as this lowly job and distant when there was a base of Mekdash. Now, in Halacha of Gimel, Behemalikrom Nesim, and there what's known, and they're quoted in Mishnayis and Sefer Ezra as the Nesinim. Why Nesinim? Lefisha Nesanim Lavayt Zamigdash, because they were given over to the service of the Beit Zamigdash. But David Vagazalim Shalikon Zabakal Lo'ayim. David came along and they decreed that they should be forbidden to marry the Jewish people forever. But for the Bezman Shem Mikdash, even when there's no Beit Zamigdash. V'chim Efosh Be'ez Zotar is explicit in Sefer Ezra, whom in the Nesinim Shadat Nasim David Vasarim Lavayt Zalavim, from the Nesinim that David gave and the princes for the service of the Levim, Alamata, you learn, Shalai Tolos in the Mikdash, it wasn't dependent on the base of Mikdash anymore, it was for other purposes, like for the Levim, and therefore that's eternal. Now, Allah Chavdad, V'loma Gazalim, who based in it? Why did he and his courts make an eternal decree on the Nesinim, on the Givayim? Because he saw brazenness and cruelty that was by these people. When they requested that the seven sons of Shaul HaMelech, the chosen one of Hashem, should be hung and be killed, and they took revenge where they were allowed to because of what happened with that Shaul killed out those people, and they wanted to take revenge, and Hashem let it, and they had no mercy, which is not appropriate for the Jewish people. Therefore, David HaMelech and his court ruled that they should not ever join and marry into the Jewish people. Now, Halacha Chafei. But says the Rambam, this was all before a certain time in history. Kesha'ola Sancheiv Melech Ashur, when Sancheiv, who is the king of Assyria, came along and he conquered the world, and Bilbo Kalumis, and he mixed up all the nations of the world, the Ervim, Zebes, and he mixed them all up, the Heklois Mekamah, he exiled everyone from their homeland and brought them to other places. So therefore says the Rambam, Ve'elu HaMitzrim, Shebe'eret Mitzrayim Ata, the Egyptians that are in Egypt right now, Anashim Achayim, they're not the original Egyptians, they're other people. V'chein Adam Shebe'estei Adam, also the Adam in the fields of Adam, they're other people. Since these four nations, which is nothing compared to the 70 nations of the world, these four nations, they got mixed up all the other nations of the world which are permitted, only these four are forbidden. So now everyone in the world is permitted. Because whoever is removing from wherever the nation is, doesn't make it in where you live, we don't know which nation that means you're from. If they're coming to convert, what's called the parish merubah parish, whatever is detaching itself from the majority, and they're coming to the Jewish people, we presume that's from the majority. And the majority are from the other nations. So therefore, when someone comes to convert from the nation of the world, in these days, from any place, whether it's from Edom, or Egypt, or Ammon, or Moab, or Kushi, whether from Ethiopia, or Sharmas, whether any other nations of the world, whether it's the males or the females, they're permitted to come into the Jewish people immediately.